ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Daria, and I am back interviewing Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Now, he has interviewed the world's experts about longevity, so we're taking some of his lessons and sharing them with you to apply it in your own life. Sanjay, let's jump right in. I wanted to talk just a little bit about exercise and the role that it plays in longevity.
I think one of the big things to remember with exercise, and this has some parallels to nutrition as well, in that, you know, we start to develop a certain mindset in this country, and then, you know, when you have a hammer, everything becomes a nail. So with nutrition, it was low-fat diet. Eat low-fat, you're going to be just fine. And we know, not surprisingly, that that's not quite the answer. It's not as simple as that. With exercise, it was all about cardiovascular training, and specifically training, like aerobics became the big thing. Jane Fonda, you know, that was all the rage, you know, for a long time. And I think a lot of that culture has continued on. There's definitely some real advantages to that type of exercise. But I think what happens, especially for people as they get older, is they forget about resistance training. And resistance training becomes really important. It becomes important for overall longevity because of your functionality with your joints, your ability to stand upright. It becomes important for longevity because it decreases your chances of developing pneumonia. For example, if you end up in a nursing home or a hospital, good upper body strength can make you recover more quickly. And I think just having more muscle mass helps you burn calories more. It helps your body run more efficiently. So I think that was the big takeaway. You know, in places like Okinawa, they don't even have gyms. They don't have gyms, but they're just always working, using their muscles. If you're someone like that, great. But if you're not, if you're at a desk job, don't forget about the resistance training.
That's really good. Very important for us at any age, but especially as we get older, to strengthen our bodies and keep us healthier longer. Now, moving from the physical to the mental, you've done a lot of looking at the impact of that, including the Japanese concept of ikigai, which you just explained. Tell us what that means and how it's associated with lifespan.
I love this concept of ikigai. I think it may be the most important thing that I took away when we were writing the book, Chasing Life, because, you know, I wanted to find things that were counterintuitive. You know, if I could figure it out on my own, then did I really need to be traveling around the world? Was it so obvious that it just took a question of reminding versus discovering? With ikigai, you know, I would talk to the folks in Okinawa. It's a Japanese word. Ikigai means sense of purpose. And when I'd ask people, and these are people who are over 100 years old and still working, and I'd sat them down, we did a little informal town hall discussions. I said, "What is it? You know, what allows you to live so long?" And once we got through with some of the diet stuff, and keep in mind, they don't say that this is my longevity diet. They say this is what I've been eating for 100 years.
They just do. Yeah,
that's just what they do. And they walk to work, and they have all the natural movements all day. But what it really came down to in so many ways, I think, universally, was they talked about this ikigai sense of purpose, that they would wake up in the morning, and they would know what they were there for. And that sounds simplistic, but what I thought was interesting, and I think about my own background, I'm Indian American, and my parents, you know, are immigrants to this country, and there's a huge focus in my household and in my life on family. As someone gets older, they're not discarded in some ways. They are more embraced, and their wisdom is sought out. In the United States, you know, you hit 65, you retire, you may be discarded from your professional life. If you don't have strong relationships with your family, you may be discarded from your personal life as well. And then your ikigai really becomes harder and harder to maintain. So, you know, look, it's simple in so many ways. You want to wake up every morning knowing what you're living for. And I think that sets the barometer for so many things in your life. You're likely to take better care of yourself. You're likely to make good decisions. You're likely to improve the lives of others. You're likely to be an altruistic person. All these things, if you know why you're here. So wake up every morning with a sense of purpose, and it fundamentally will change your life and your longevity.
Now, that's fascinating. How can what are some practical tips for kind of going about and making sure you instill that in yourself?
I'm very, you know, as a doctor, you know, myself, and I'm sure, Daria, you probably have some of the same mindset. I love goals. I love to have things that are not super vague things, but actually as specific as possible. So, I have three daughters, you know, I'm married, my wife. So a lot of my ikigai revolves around them, as I mentioned a little earlier. And I think about something that I'm going to do for them every single day. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a thing even. But I always wake up sort of in the morning like, what am I going to do today that's going to make me a better dad or a better husband, that sort of thing. My work life, like you probably, Daria, I feel like I've got that figured out. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to me, and it does provide me sense of purpose. But for myself, my soul, I think, and I think a lot of what the people in Okinawa were talking about revolve more around just your relationships with mm-hmm. your family, your legacy in that regard. So mm-hmm. I just, you know, it's some specific thing about how I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday, how I learned in some way from something, and I'm going to tell the person, I learned this thing yesterday from you. It could be as simple as that. Tell my 10-year-old daughter, you taught me something yesterday. She mm-hmm. loves that. Makes her feel wonderful. And it makes me feel really good, too.
That's amazing. So all of us can essentially, it sounds like it just takes a little more thinking about what you can accomplish today and grateful for what you accomplished yesterday.
You may be thinking really nice things about people and your mm-hmm. family. And you, of course, I love my family. Of course, this and the other thing. But spending the time vocalizing it, making it mm-hmm. real, reminding them, it's amazing what it can do. First of all, it does amazing things for the person who you vocalize it to, mm-hmm. but what you'll be surprised by, and I think what the ikigai concept really was all about, was the sense of purpose it'll give you as well. It'll make mm-hmm. you want to continue to be better, make you feel good, and continue want to make their worlds better.
That's amazing. That's definitely something each of us can incorporate every morning.
Yeah.
It doesn't take an immense amount of money or anything else or time. And it sounds like it drastically changes your mindset.
Yeah. Sandra, smile a lot.
Pardon?
You smile a lot.
Yeah, excellent. Smiling is good. I want to switch in our last, 2 minutes. You know, you've talked about, in cheating death and chasing life, some fascinating new science and technology that we're seeing. Tell us more what we can imagine down the road.
Well, let me tell you a simple one that I think is really interesting. And I mentioned that I have a very strong family history of heart disease. My father developed heart disease when he was still in his 40s. So I think about this a lot. What we know from people who have a heart problem, a cardiac arrest, where they're not in a hospital somewhere, if you start to really look at all the things that are going to make that person more likely to survive versus not, and some of them are really obvious. How quickly can emergency medical services get there? Obviously, what kind of medical history did the person already have? Do they respond to CPR? Can they have their heart shocked? All those very specific things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you don't hear about as much, though, is something known as hypothermia.
Mm-hmm.
And hypothermia, there's been a lot of data on this, and basically what it means is you cool the body.
Yes.
And the idea is the heart's not working really well, so you got two options. Get the heart working really well, or reduce the demand from the body from the heart, so the body's not asking as much. Hypothermia sort of works on the second part of that. It reduces the demand of blood. And we know from some really remarkable studies in Arizona and then Wisconsin that you can dramatically, significantly rather, improve survival rates in people who've had cardiac arrest by using hypothermia. Literally, Daria, we're talking about ice and cooling blankets. This isn't a fancy new drug or some new intervention. It's ice. And so here was a simple intervention that could make a significant improvement mm-hmm. in cardiac survival rates. When I moved into our neighborhood, I did call the hospitals around and EMS services to find out, did they employ hypothermia in my mm-hmm. area? Because, if I were to ever have a cardiac arrest, it's something I would want. Simple technology that could make a difference.
It is, and it's something that we're now using in the ER, but you're right, it's simple. It sounds kind of science fiction-y, but it's really just dropping their temperatures, making them cooler. And
even starting it on the ambulance.
Yes.
Because the quicker you start it, the better. So
that's a change we'll probably see more of, I hope, and expect to see coming forward. Sanjay, this was fantastic. I took some great lessons. I'm going to reduce the meat in my diet. I'm going to look for my sense of purpose every morning. Thank you so much for joining us. All of our listeners, you can follow Sanjay on Twitter at Dr. Sanjay Gupta or go to cnn.com/Sanjay. We're going to be back next week with ShareCare Radio. And if you can't wait a whole week, tweet us at ShareCare Inc. with hashtag ShareCare Radio or at Dr. Daria. Sign up for our podcast at ShareCare.com/RadioMD. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on RadioMD, where we distill the latest health info to help you look, feel, and live your best.